For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And as he took that cup, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you sit at this holy table and eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Oftentimes in church, we stop there, and yet it's a beginning for you and I to practice the holiness of God. Verse 27 says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man, therefore, ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why so many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are all judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the Lord." And so this is a time that generations before us and generations after us will continue to model the disciplines unto a holy God. This is a time in which our ushers are going to come in just a moment. And we're going to encourage each and every one of you to participate here at the table of the Lord. Each of you are going to have opportunity to hold in your hands a piece of that body, which is symbolized in that bread. Each of you are going to hold a cup, which is symbolic of his cup of life. That cup that held his blood that was poured out at Calvary for your sin and for mine. This is a time that as the ushers begin to make their way to our lives and bring us these elements, this is a time that you and I are to practice examining ourselves. Even now as we begin to prepare this time, this is a time for each of us to bow our hearts, to bow our heads, and allow the holy God of heaven to examine our hearts. This is a time in which we should be grateful and thankful unto the Lord for all that he's done for us this year. And yet this is also a time in which we ask the Lord to see into our hearts and to see those things that he calls sin. We ask him to show us those things that we might confess those sins, that they may be forgiven. Perhaps tonight you're here and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart. You've never made him the Lord of your life. Well, friend, this is an opportunity for you to take the elements which symbolize what he did for you at the cross 2,000 years ago. If you've never asked the Lord into your heart, I want to encourage you to take this cup of juice and this piece of bread, and I want you to hold on to it, because in just a moment, you're going to have opportunity not just to take that into your body, but you're going to have a chance to invite Jesus Christ into your heart to become your Lord and your Savior. So as the praise team returns to sing this song, and as the ushers serve to you the elements from the communion table, let this be a time of examination, reverence, and participating in the holiness of God. Sat there that night with Christ, and they partook of the bread and the juice. I think that group of people had no idea the power that they held in their hands. I think for them it was impossible to imagine what the future would look like. I think for them they had no point of reference of how much they would need that presence in that cup, that power in that bread, and how they would need it over and over and over again. I think there was no way they could have any idea that God would use their lives to change a world forever. And friend, tonight, 2,000 plus years later, you as disciples sit at the table of communion, and here as you sit, you hold those same elements. And I wonder, do you recognize and do you realize the presence and the power that's in this bread and this cup? Do you have any idea how God will use your life to change the world forever, not just this day, but in the days to come? That in a year from now, we'll reconvene. And as we sit around the table in 2009, many of us will celebrate what God has done in our lives. Some of us will sit here and we'll remember in 2008, the doctor had just told us this. And by this time next year in 2009, God said, "Oh yeah, let me tell you a thing or two." Hallelujah. Tonight I want to read to you one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Christ, Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and now has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, I believe fixing your eyes is a discipline. I think it's a choice. I think that you and I have to not only set our gaze on the things that have gotten started in our lives, but we've got to look and take our gaze and set it on the one who finishes our life. So often we're in between, and it's easy for us to get our eyes on things like guilt, grief, pain, disappointment, bitterness, and sin. And so as we sit around the communion table, the Lord says, hey, take your eyes off of just beginnings and put them on the endings that God has written for you. Then throw off everything as you sit here at the table, everything that hinders you. Throw off the sin that so easily entangles you so that you can run the race that God has set before you. Put your eyes on him and let him finish what he started. And just as he found joy in his cross, you can find joy in yours. Any of you have witnesses? Oh, I grew up with some witnesses. Some of us are in the witness protection program. But as a kid growing up, my mom was one of those witnesses. She was one of those that was in the cloud of witnesses. She was one that felt like it was her responsibility to root me on. In fact, the Holy Spirit didn't even have to be a part of raising me in the things of God. If the Holy Spirit wasn't working fast enough as a witness, then my mom would work for him. How many of you grew up with that kind of mama? One of the fond memories I had, not as I was a child, but now as an adult, was something that my mom did every day. There was power in what she did every day because she prayed for us every day. We lived out in the country. My two sisters and I would catch a school bus into the city to go to school. And it was there that my mom would stop us at the door, give us our sack lunch, anoint us with oil, lay her hands on our mullets, and plead the blood of Jesus over us. That was powerful. She was in the cloud of witnesses. She took what was in the cup of her heart and she poured it out through prayer and in prayer over our lives. And when it didn't seem like English would work, she picked up the spiritual language because she always knew praying in the spirit would work. My mom, and I can distinctly remember this happening more times than not, my mom would choose to tarry and linger while the bus was out front of my house waiting. And there on the bus was all of my friends looking at me on the front door of my house with the door open, my mom with her hand on my mullet, and they would hear her pleading the blood of Jesus. Kind of sounded something like this. Oh Lord, I just plead the blood of Jesus over my son Greg today. I place angels to the north, south, east, and west. I pray a hedge of protection round about him. Lord, you know he's called. Lord, you know he's consecrated. Lord, you know he's covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. And my mom would run out of English. And my mom would go into, not Spanish, but she'd go into the spirit. And all my friends would be watching. She was a witness. And so finally I would drag myself away. And she would be binding, rebuking, and loosing as I was getting on the bus. She really did know my friends because all of that was necessary. How many of you learned way too much about life on the school bus? Well, I did. And as I'd get on the bus, my friends would be like, hey, what's up with your mom? What's that language she's speaking? I'd say, oh, Spanish. I look Spanish, and she didn't, but that's the way it went. But she was a witness. See, here's the question tonight. The question is, what's in your cup? Most of us sit here tonight, and to answer that question, we have to understand what the cup is in our life. The cup really is our life. What's in the cup of your life? Tonight as you sit here, I'm sure there's all kinds of things in the cup of your life. I'm sure that in the heart of your life, there's all kinds of things, both good and bad. Some of you have been naughty, and only one or two of you have been nice. But as you sit here tonight, Scripture says, look in the cup of your life. Look at the things that trip you up. Look at the things that easily entangle you. Look at the sin that causes you to fall short of the glory of God. That's what communion does. Communion asks you, what's in your cup? What's in your life? And then it doesn't just leave you there. It says to look in the cup of life. And it asks you, what's in the cup of his life? What's in this cup? Grace, hope, strength, forgiveness, and freedom. It holds all we'll ever need right here. For here, as it runs down the right side of my new coat, is life. And that life has a name. It's abundant, it's eternal. And that name is Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher. And tonight he's saying to each and every one of us that don't like what's in our cup, he's saying, I will rewrite what's in the cup of your life and make everything wrong right again. You remember early in the service, I said that each and every one of us would have a chance to invite Jesus Christ into our heart and to make him our Lord and Savior. I said to the person that's never had the chance to do that before, that you're going to have that opportunity, and that opportunity is right now. We're going to do it like the old school folks used to do it. The old school would have a pastor in the front that would say, I want to ask every head to be bowed and every eye to close. And so we're going to ask you to bow your heads. We're going to ask you to close your eyes. We're going to ask you not to participate like I did as a teenager and look through your eyebrows to see who's about to raise their hands. But I'm going to ask you right now to answer for yourself and answer for the Lord, what's in your cup? Is it grief? Is it brokenness? Is it fear? Is it failure? Is it heartache? Is it sin? I'm going to ask you to be honest with that. I'm going to ask you to let the Holy Spirit examine your heart and what's in the cup of your life and answer that for your life. And now, friend, if you don't like the answers of what's in the cup of your life, I want you with head bowed and eyes closed to ask Jesus Christ, the cup of life. I want you to ask him for what's in his cup. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. That prayer is going to ask for what's in his cup. When we receive and partake of what's in his cup, we will then be able to drink of salvation, deliverance, healing, and freedom. This is a chance for every one of us to make Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. If you've never made him your Lord and Savior, but you're about to, I want you to just raise your hand real quick. I want you to raise it and say, Pastor Greg, I'm starting a new year with a new heart that Jesus Christ gave me. If this moment is for you and you've never made the Lord your Savior before, I want you to just raise your hand up and then I want you to put it right back down. Quickly, just put your hand up and put it right back down. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Many are raising their hands and they're saying, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I want to drink from what's in the cup of his life. And I want to give him what's in the cup of my life. In just a moment, we're going to celebrate that together. But before we do, each of us are going to ask Jesus Christ into our lives, into the cup of life that each of us have. And we're going to do that fresh and new. We're going to pray this together as a family. Dear Jesus, I admit my need for a Savior. I believe that you came to this world, died on a cross to save me from my sin. I take this moment to ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, and to wash everything in me that is sin out of my life. I now take this moment to confess that you are the Lord of my life, and from this point on, I'm going to live my life for you. Thank you for your salvation. Amen. Now, I know your hands are busy because you're holding the cup of life, but notice that your mouth isn't. Can we just thank the Lord? See, Thanksgiving was a key part of their meal, and Thanksgiving is a key part of this one. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this life. We thank you for eternal life. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, who not only died, but rose again. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. It says that night they sat down and they ate. And so tonight we sit down and we eat. I'd like to ask Reverend Tamara Sword to stand. Kind of feels like a scary movie at this point. Everybody's looking around. Dun, dun. It said that the Lord Jesus took these elements and he partook of them in a spirit of thanksgiving. Tonight we're going to take the bread. I want you to just pray a prayer of thanksgiving for this bread. Let us partake of the bread. That same time together, they took the juice. And before they took the juice, I think they had some time of thanksgiving. I'd like to ask Pastor Paul to stand. Our children's pastor came back in town early Sunday morning after spending, I don't know, seemed like as he talked about 30 hours straight in a car. Coming back from the Chicago area. When he walked in the door, it was cool because there was a spirit of just being glad to see each other. And we all got up and we kind of hugged each other and loved on each other and was actually glad to see each other. You ever seen that happen before in your life? I think that's what communion does, Paul. I think communion is a chance of getting our heart right and now we're glad to see the Lord. I think he's equally glad to see us. I think it moves him across the room to hug us and say, it's good to see you back. Yeah. Would you pray a prayer of thanksgiving, please? Amen. Let's quench our spiritual thirst. Now, Scripture doesn't bear this out, but as our ushers are coming and they're going to pick your cup up if you'll pass it to the aisles, I think one of the things they should have included was a mint. Would any of you agree? You've not really been to church until you've left church with some communion breath. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We're glad that you were here tonight. And we rejoice with those who've said, I'm going to make a commitment to the Lord for the first time and for the next time. I want to say thank you for Waydeen. Some of you may have not realized that she's been here all evening and she was afraid that you didn't see her here, so she purposely played a few keys, but would you just bless Waydeen? I have a feeling my New Year's Eve plans just got changed. But we are glad that you're here tonight. We want to encourage you to be aware of the fact that this church family wants to get to know you just a little bit better. Tonight, if you made a decision for the Lord, or perhaps you're reconnecting to the Lord and you've been away from Him, and you want to make growing in the Lord a priority, then I think you're going to want to hear from Pastor Clint tonight. Our student pastor's coming at this time, and he's going to help us know how to get more connected, not just to this church family, but to a growth plan that will help people grow in the Lord.
Well, first of all, am I on? Yes. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me now?
Should be.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Clint looks like he's been muted. Clint, I think he's been muted. He's muted it.
I love hearing feedback, too. Well, I want to say Happy New Year to each and every one of you. And as Pastor said, this coming new year, there's a lot of new things that we're going to be doing in the church. And one of those things is a new believers class. And we call it Next. And if you've made a decision for Christ, or maybe you just want to get back to some basics, you want to revisit the foundations of faith, then we're going to start that on January 11th. We're going to be meeting in our pastoral offices. And we're going to go over some key things like salvation, like habits, like testimony. What is it? How do we develop that? And really what water baptism is, what communion is, and what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. We're going to start digging in and diving into those topics. So if you want to grow in faith, you don't have to even be a new believer. If you just want to grow in faith, then we want to invite you to that class. Myself, along with Daryl and Seth Yance, is going to be leading that. And tonight, if you did make a decision, man, we want to invite you back to the cafe where myself, Daryl, will be back there. Just want to shake your hand, meet you, kind of greet you, and really get you connected to this body of Christ. Because it's a year of new things. How many of you know there was a lot of new words that Pastor preached about this year? How many of y'all remember paralyzed? That was my favorite new word of 2008, and I am looking forward to 2009, what word we're going to get from our senior pastor. I won't be with you next year because that was my last thing to say, probably at this church, but God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
It's funny you would say that because the word for the year that the Holy Spirit keeps giving me is fired.
Like the fire of the Holy Spirit, right? Oh.
Hey, sorta. Tonight is your last opportunity to give towards 2008, and our ushers are here, and they're preparing to move into place. If you'd like an envelope to record your giving, they're coming at this time, and please raise your hand, and they'll see to it that you receive an envelope, and we will conclude our year of giving. And hasn't it been a tremendous year? I don't know that I would have imagined as we ended last year that by this point in this year, we would be the owners of 30.5 acres of land. And we're just excited about that. This concludes our children's pastor's first full year on staff here. And we just celebrate Pastor Paul and Elizabeth and their whole family that are here. Who knew that Hurricane Ike would pay a visit this year? That was new. But as we're preparing to give tonight, let us just also remind you that life groups will not be meeting this Sunday morning. But we're going to be back a week from Sunday starting at 10 o'clock. One of the other classes that we're going to be offering is on the book of Philippians. And so one of the adult classes will be studying that book line upon line, precept upon precept. Then there will be a third choice, and it's entitled Sticky Issues. We're going to take four issues that we have found through the years to be very sticky in the local church. Those issues are going to be number one, eternal security, number two, tithing, number three, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then the fourth sticky issue is going to be the subject of predestination. It's going to be a wonderful chance for you to ask questions, compare notes, and look at some sticky issues. How many of you this particular Christmas have had more than your fair share of sticky things to eat? I was at the mall and I was standing near Sears. And I think they spell Cinnabon wrong, which is incidentally very close to Sears. They spell it C-I-N. I think it should be S-I-N. It's not right when you smell something and you're gaining weight. And it was there that I saw a lady get her Cinnabon, grab it, take a bite out of it. It fell apart, and it went all down the front of her. The Bible says to make a joyful noise, and so I did, and I joined in. And she was laughing. I thought she would be upset. What was funny was she had an oversized T-shirt on. Once she got it out of her nose, She was just licking it. She started working on her shirt. She was licking it right off her t-shirt. And her husband was laughing. And he's like, "Sir, I'm sorry. She didn't get out much." And I said, "Don't apologize. Looks just like what we do around my house." And he said, "Well, sir, what's your name?" And I said, "Well, my name is Clint DeGroot, and my wife Casey is somewhere here lost in the mall." And so we want you to come back to life groups in a couple weeks, and we want you to explore sticky issues with us. If you'd like to bring some Cinnabons, please let the Lord guide you.